Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Insightful Journey podcast. You know what this is. We talk about tarot, spirituality, pretty much anything that comes into our little heads, and we just kind of speak it out and record it and then send it all out to you guys. I am Charlie, one of the hosts, and my other host, as always, is...
Hey, guys, it's Jameson. Welcome to episode 3.
Oh my God, can you imagine it's episode 3 already?
No, it feels like, it's just wonderful. You know, it's so much fun, and to see it, like you said, episode 3, it's like, we made it past episode 1 and 2?
I know. It's too crazy. I'm like, wow, we're actually getting things done. This is nuts. And we have so many surprises coming up. We've got a few ideas for future episodes. Hey, Mr. Post, stop. Okay, now I have 2 cats that are attacking me as I try and record this. So if there's bumps and stuff on my end audio, I apologize. But, oopsie, there goes a cat.
Our 2 guest hosts.
Yeah, our 2 guest hosts. We have Poe and Binks here are just lending their energy. All right, everybody. Yes, we have so many things going on right now. We have launched our website. You heard about that on the last episode. It is insightfultarot.com. That link will be in the show notes. You can go check out the website. We have a couple surprises coming up. We have a special guest that will be on an episode soon. Not going to say any names. I know.
So excited.
I know. It's going to be so great. You guys are going to love who we have. I'm not going to say anything. Jameson, don't you say anything. We want to make this a surprise.
Okay, I guess I'll not spoil things.
Okay, good, because this is like Christmas, okay? You don't want to give away what the present is, okay?
Okay, you got it.
All right, so we got so into tarot last time, and I feel like we barely even scratched the surface that I wanted to do even more stuff about tarot. How's that sound?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's, like, what's funny is, like, truthfully, there's so much to do and learn and understand about tarot that it's something that, like, especially you guys as listeners are going to hear us talking about this all the time. This is what brought us together. This is what's going to, we are very passionate about. So I am so excited to talk more tarot.
good, perfect. Oh, yes, hello, Mr. Poe. You came back. Thank you very much. Okay, so I am going to have a cat while I do all this. This will be great.
A cat in the hat or a cat with a deck?
Oh, believe me, if he could read cards, he would.
Hey, I totally wish my cat would. Like, hey, I need you to pick the card.
One of the days they're going to do that. I swear Binks is going to do it one day. He's always with me with the cards. It's like he wants to just paw through the deck and grab something. Okay, hey, so let's dive into this, why not? Tarot myths. What are a few of the myths you've heard surrounding tarot?
Oh, golly, there's so many. Like, you must be gifted your first deck. It'll be your luckiest deck. You know, I originally totally fell for that one. Some of these myths, they totally got me until I really started to take a deep dive into it, let myself feel what was right, and no, you do not need to be gifted your deck. What's nice about a gift is it's a gift. People give you things, it's always wonderful, but it is not necessary for you to be a successful reader of tarot and to find insight. You know, like, the whole gifting thing is probably... Oh, wait, weren't you telling me the other day about where that came from? Where did that myth come from?
I don't remember exactly where that came from. I was reading in a book, and this book is actually originally published in 1971, and he's going all into, you know, if you want to learn tarot, you have to get a deck, so go to a store, go find a deck. So from 1971, they're saying you have to go buy your own deck, not you have to be gifted it. So, I don't know, you know, so somewhere between 21 and, God, when did we start? I mean, when did you first hear that myth? Like,
originally heard that myth, it must have been, 1998, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
When my friend Pam had originally gotten her first deck and showed me tarot for the first time.
That's sweet.
And I think I remember what we were talking about when it came to that myth. People had to find a deck that called to them and like came to them. And
oh,
so
yeah.
It was like, I think that people just turned the, you know, letting like the, your, you know, your feelings help you direct you towards your deck. And to, oh, the deck needs to find you. It needs to become a gift from somebody else.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Kind of, that might have been how it evolved. Yeah, when I actually got serious in and started, you know, like, okay, I'm going to get a deck. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do all this stuff. I went and bought the deck. Of course, I start with Crowley Thoth deck. For those of you who don't understand, let me explain why he just chuckled right there. The Thoth deck and Aleister Crowley, the deck that he created, is universally known as not a beginner deck. This is for like advanced studies only. And in fact, is every website, anything that you're going to read is like, if you're just starting tarot, stay a million miles away from this deck. So what do my guides do? What does everything happen? They say, oh, get that deck. That's the one you need to start on.
If you're going to start, you might as well start in the fire and learn to rise above the ashes.
Apparently, I jump in the deep end and it's either sink or swim. So I...
thank God we float.
Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah, I don't know. That was a crazy start. Anyway, so, you know, get that. It wasn't until after I bought the deck and was started learning this stuff, then I find out, oh my God, it must be gifted to you. The version I read is that if your first deck was not gifted to you, you will never connect to that deck. You will never learn how to read tarot. Why are you wasting your time? Stop. Burn everything now and, you know, like, I don't know, make a sacrifice on the full moon and maybe the tarot gods will smile on you and let you learn next time.
And it's such a bummer because a lot of myths only hinder people that are interested, because then they read all these, you have to be gifted this, you can't read your own cards, like, mm-hmm. You know, all these random myths, and then they're like, they're anxious, they're worried, and it's like, this is something that just, you can't go in with like misconceptions, though you will, everybody does, but you gotta just feel your way, because everybody reads differently, everybody takes tarot much differently than the next person, and like, you know, like the don't let anybody touch your deck.
Oh god,
that one cracks me up. I'm like, why, like, mm-hmm. Ooh, their energy will F up your no dude, stop that.
Stop. Yeah, exactly. Like, no, stop. The way I look is I am reading for that person. For my deck to really give the message for things to work, I need their energy in the deck. And so I hand them my deck and say, here, shuffle it. Think about the question, or, you know, whatever area, whatever the thing that you want the clarity, the guidance on, you know, whatever it is that you're looking for. Think about that. You shuffle the deck. That puts your energy in the deck. And then when it, you know, when they're good, they hand it back to me. I lay it out and do the reading. And
heck yeah.
I mean, that to me, that's the only way to do it. That's what works for me.
It's always that, like, that right there, that, like, when I'm doing a reading in person, that's always felt natural. Like, when you're shuffling the deck, and I would want you, like, especially if I don't want to go know your question or thoughts on mm-hmm. what you want insight into.
Yeah, exactly.
I would feel more comfortable if you put that into the deck while you're shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your energy, all your thoughts that you put in there, will go there, and then we'll look into it afterwards.
Exactly.
There's no reason why somebody can't touch the cards. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
exactly. How many people touched that deck before you ever came across it?
Mm-hmm. Before you ever bought it. Think of that. And then my other thing is, you know, people say, well, they don't want other people because then their energy gets in, contaminates the deck, and your deck gets all ugly and dirty, and then it won't read correctly and everything. I was like, if you got the deck, you don't know how to clear your own deck. You don't know how to re-energize it to clear any bad energy off of it. I'm like, that should be like, honestly, more before you even learn the meanings of the cards, you should learn how to, you know, connect, grab your deck and clear your deck. You know, put your energy and clear it. That should be, like, the first lesson.
Definitely, definitely. And I personally feel that, like, do a lot of reading on it. Don't be afraid to look into the things and find out, like, myth bust.
There you go.
You know, because, like we had said, you got to find your own path. Do, like, different research, read some books. Find what feels right for you, because that's the way it'll be special.
Yeah, exactly. Learn. You're going to make mistakes. First on, nobody is perfect, and everybody learns differently. So find what works for you. You know, if you do feel better that no one else touches your deck, then go ahead. Do it that way. I personally don't believe in it. I just have to go, wow, you're so special. How do I know that you're actually getting me? Although, yeah, my guides are pretty good at, like, getting a message to me or sending it to whoever needs to know about me. So it's kind of fun that way.
Yeah. And, like, what was he? Oh, the sleep on your cards.
Oh.
I think that's funny. Personally, I still do that on occasion just because I find that I enjoy putting my – because I'm a lucid dreamer. I lucid dream almost all the time. And I like knowing that I'm putting my, like, lucid – what would you call it? Lucid powers. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Into it. But it's like, you don't need to do that. Some of my decks have never been under my pillow once in their whole entire existence, and they read just fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I can say that none of my decks have ever been underneath my pillow. So I have never slept with any of my decks. I will buy a brand new deck and then go walk up to somebody and shuffle them and do a reading right there. I mean, you know, like, with, like, no other kind of prep work, whatever. I'm just weird like that. I connect on decks in a weird, freaky way. So it's cool, though. But like I said, everybody's different. In this book from 1971, it's actually called The Devil's Picture Book. That was a title.
right? Anyway, who's the author on that?
It is, who has I got sitting right here? Paul Husson, Husson.
Okay.
So I could be wrong. This is a reprint from 2003, but it was originally published in 1971. And his whole thing about, you know, find the deck that calls to you. You know, don't let it be pushed on you. You know, find the one that you need. And then he does say about connecting it, do get your energy in, kind of settle it, you know, shuffle the cards, get your energy in. If you want to connect, he say you can take just a single card, you know, sleep with it, put that under your pillow. You know, before you go to bed at night, you know, just grab a card, look at the picture, and kind of let your mind start to drift with it, you know, with what's in the picture, and let that kind of lucid dreaming thing go. And he said, this is how you connect to the cards, the whole intuition.
Yeah. And, like, in shamanism, one of the things that I learned during my apprenticeship was, like, a lot of the tricks is all about intent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you put that, like, say you can't exactly, like, maybe you can't sleep on your deck, but put the intent that you want to connect to it. As soon as you even think in your brain, I want to connect to my deck, you're going to immediately start to connect. That's just the way, like, thought and energy works.
Uh-huh.
Do what's comfortable.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, so there's that. What else? What have I heard recently? Nah, I can't even think. My mind goes blank. I should jot these things down when I think of them instead. Just going, oh, tarot myths. Okay, we'll talk about that.
right. You know what one I always liked is that the reverse of a card is completely the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
It's like so many people, they see the reverse and they immediately go, oh, no.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, not necessarily. Like, I like to personally, like, read both the main and the reverse, even if it's not reverse, because sometimes it gives me, like, a little insight into, like, the split in the card. Like, what else is a part of this? Like, you should know the whole story before you tell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I have a couple of friends that will not read reversals. They say, they go back in history and say, well, you know, the early decks, you know, like a modern playing card deck, you know, how like the kings and queen, you know, the court cards are all cut in the middle. So it's a, no matter which way it is, it's, you know, the figure is face up.
And yeah.
They say that is the correct and the original way decks were printed. They were never printed full, so it could be reversed, so there's no reversal, and they won't read reversals. I'm like, okay, that's an interesting thought. For me, though, I do. You know, it's 78 cards, and if you reverse it, there's another 78. So now instead of 78, you know, little phrases, you've got 156.
Right,
you
know, right.
So you, to help describe things. And yeah, the reverse doesn't mean automatically. It's the opposite. Yeah, you know, I always tell people the four of swords to me, upside, you know, right side up or, you know, upright, however you want to describe it. That card to me is take a nap. You know, stop wasting your energy on a situation you can't change. Save your energy for something you're going to need down the road. Reversed, I get take a nap in all capitals and like three exclamation points. It's like, hello, listen, there's nothing you can do to change it, so stop. And so that's not, you know, it's not a reverse. It's just more emphasizing. Yeah, so
it
really depends on the nuance of the card and how you read them.
Yeah. Sorry, no, I think it's the Three of Swords has been popping up a lot in readings lately.
Ooh, okay.
And I think that one's all about like deceit and like trying to put one over on people. I don't know if that is that one or not off the top of my head.
For me, Three of Swords is heartbreak and like relationship over.
Yeah, and that makes sense because of the heart. I can't do that. That's a second.
The two big deceit cards for me are Seven of Swords and Five of Swords.
I think it is the Seven of Swords.
Yeah,
I'm pretty confident it's the Seven of Swords.
Yeah, Seven. That's a big one. It's like someone is not telling the truth here.
Right, and like the reverse on that is like it's the same thing, but more directed towards like your intentions. You know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Not being truthful with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Okay, yeah. Lying to yourself. And this, yes. So I grabbed a deck. I'm shuffling a little bit. Anyway. that's so cool. Again, you know, it's all to your personal preference. When you're a reader, there's no right or wrong way. I mean, I get amazing people. Okay. Put thoughts and words together in coherent order. Anyway, I get really good readings from people, whether they read reversals or not. I mean, it's great. That's one thing I do want to do. Are you picky on like who you allow to read for you?
I wouldn't say I'm picky. It's more that I am like I find. No, I'm not picky. No, I like getting readings. I would say that I don't always go out of my way to get them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like having been reading for so long, I enjoy getting other people's readings of me or for me, you know. But, like, I've always been like, oh, I can do my cards. Oh, there's a myth for you. There's one of the myths. You can't do your own readings.
Yeah, that's right. You can't read for yourself. Yeah.
And that's a bunch of humbug, you know.
That is.
But it's like the same thing. Like it falls into that whole category where people think that if you read tarot, you're doing black magic or telling the future. It's like,
yeah,
no. Like that's where we start to get into like the shady area of like tarot card readings because you don't have to be a psychic, and you're not telling the future. You're getting insight. You're trying to, it's like hitting the calm down button so that you can spend a little bit more time thinking about the exact thing you want insight into. And it's not telling you things. It's just like, it's not like telling you what will happen, sorry. But it's like showing you and giving you ideas that help you figure out and find more insight into your question or whatever thoughts you're trying to understand better.
Yeah, exactly. I heard one of my friends, they cracked me up when they said this because, you know, someone was like, oh, I can't read for myself. I can't. It's like, he's like, what do you mean you can't read for yourself? What, did the card suddenly, like, change to Latin or something like that? It's like, suddenly you don't know the meanings of those cards. It's like, you'll go out and read everybody else, but you lay out cards for yourself and now you don't know what the cards mean? It's like,
right?
Come on, think about it.
That's crap.
Yeah. Now, there are many times I've done readings for myself and I don't like what I'm seeing in the cards, you know. You know, my cards can cut out a lot of the bullshit and cut right to the heart of the matter. And so, you know, sometimes I don't like the message that I'm seeing, but that doesn't mean I can't read for myself. It's like,
right.
Will I accept the message that's coming through? And I think that's part of the problem is people don't like that mirror, or they don't like that bright light on themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's also hard because a lot of people, it's natural to want good news, you know, or to hear positive reinforcement. And sometimes that's like, you don't. And sorry, but that's life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not all sunshine and roses all the time.
Oh, golly, I wish it was, because these last couple of years for me have been rough.
Yeah, believe me, I think we've all hit some rough bits, but, you know.
Yep.
You got to keep plugging away. To me, it's like, you know, you need the bads to appreciate the goods.
Definitely.
It's the kind of thing, you know, I would say that, you know, like, if you eat steak every night for dinner, you know, you're going to... You'll get so tired of steak that even steak won't be good. Then what do you do?
Sometimes. I don't know. I could eat bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches every single day, and I'd be totally okay with that.
Hey, look, I said steak, not bacon, okay? <There's a difference. laughs>
That's true. Bacon is, like, special.
Yeah. Bacon is its own category. There's bacon and ranch, okay? So, I mean, those are, like, two things.
I apologize to our vegetarian and vegan listeners.
I'm just going to be quiet so I don't get anybody mad. But
right,
anyway.
Right.
Okay. I love this, man. We just start riffing and we just, who knows what's going to come out of our mouths. Okay, let's drop into, because this is something I want to do, like, you know, getting into the suits of the cards, you know, because we were supposed to be talking about tarot. Well, we have been. Anyway, like, you know, like cups are water, water's emotions, you know, wands are fire, action, energy, movement, swords, air, thought, intellect. I have a funny thing for swords. I'll tell you, you know, pentacles are earth, grounding, you know, material objects. For me, you know, to learning things, you know, you create your own little stories. You create things that, you know, that work in your life. For me, and this is the way I explain it to people, and it just clicks. Swords are Vulcans. If you know Star Trek, you understand, because it's all intellect, no emotion. Yeah, so it's like swords don't care about what you're feeling. Swords cut through it all. So it's like, there is no compassion. There is no empathy. Sorry. And swords are pointy because that's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. They're sharp because they cut.
Yeah.
And sometimes that cut is not a haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, cups being water, emotion, which is kind of fun. Me being a Pisces, I'm always in that two worlds kind of thing. So I'm either like daydreamer off, you know, somewhere, or like so grounded in reality. It's strange. It's this weird juxtaposition that I live in.
That's funny.
Yeah. So like, when I do cards, you know, when I do readings, I don't grab a significator, you know, the card to represent the person getting the reading. I can never say that word. Anyway, I don't do that. I don't feature that in, because to me, removing a card from the deck, you know, now you're removing one card that could have meaning in a reading.
Yeah.
So I don't like doing that when I'm doing readings for others. But there is a card that I feel represents me, and I think most people will have a card. And for me, the card is the Knight of Cups. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, Pisces, on my journey, emotional, having fun, doing all this stuff. So sometimes when I try and figure out things, or it's like, hey, what do I need to do? What do I want to do? I'll just think, you know, just kind of let my mind go blank as I'm shuffling the deck or thinking about whatever specific thing. And then I'll turn the deck over and I'll go through and I'll find the Knight of Cups. The card immediately before the Knight of Cups and the card immediately after the Knight of Cups as I'm going through is the message that I need at that time.
Oh, interesting.
Which is really cool. So, like, if I pull, like, you know, if there's... pick two other cards and give an example. I don't know, like the Tower and the Three of Swords, you know? So the Tower, it's like, whoo, things are going to get really bumpy. The universe is going to blow something up for you. And Three of Swords, it's going to hurt, you know? So
right.
You know, it gives me kind of a snapshot energy thing I do, and I'll do that for other people. Like, if there's people who just, like, don't want to listen, then I'll be like, okay, let's pick a card for you, and then let's figure this out. And then it's like, bam. It's kind of scary how precise it gets on people. It's or at least for me, that's the way it works. It's kind of funny.
It's funny.
So I don't talk forever and ever because I can. Once you start my Ontario, I'll just never shut up. How do you feel about was it Wands and Pentacles?
So, like, Wands, I always, like, thought of as more like wow, I'm having brain fart today. Like, you're going to have what your goal and, like, your desire, what you are trying to, like, move towards. And this can be, like, career, love.
Mm-hmm.
And then for, like, Pentacles, I've always immediately, like, my brain thinks coins. So I immediately think that it has to do more with, like, our material life or what, like, we necessarily need in reality to live.
Okay.
And most of the time that's correct. Not always, you know, but like, I've always seen this as like, you need good health to live. You need, like, sadly in this world, we need money to take care of our home, our house, you know, all that. So, like, it's going to fall into that one. I was considered, like, Pentacles more like the physical things. And, like, the Wands is how you get to those things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I was just shuffling. I just pulled three cards, so when we get into that part, I already have my cards ready to go. I love that. I keep them face down, so I have no idea until we get to, you know, until I turn them over what they're going to be. Anyway, that's just a future casting. So there you go. Yeah, that. Stay tuned. You know, woo! Get the card reveal. After a word from our sponsors. Yeah. Okay. Not
so,
yet.
Something I didn't really, like, think about until, like, recently when I was reading through a book again. Do you take the numbers into account? Like, do the numbers have a meaning to you?
Sometimes. Sometimes. That's weird because, you know, you give the meanings of the cards. And so, but, like, if there's a two and a two, you know, if I see, like, a repeating number, that will usually get my attention, and then it's like, okay, so what does that mean? Or, like, you know, like, repeating fours is, fours for me, repeating, you know, it's stability, it's solid, you know, you're in a good place, you know, so you're looking at good things, or the person getting the reading has something pretty solid there. You know, it's, they don't always catch my eye, I don't incorporate them in every reading, but sometimes if it pops out, and
I just found it interesting because in the book I was reading, they were talking the way they described the numbers, like, take away the suits and the card, like, oh, like, number, not the number, you know, the other things away, and just look at the number one that they describe as, like, the beginning, where it all started, and 10, like, the end. And I thought that was interesting. It's just something that, like, truthfully, I always looked at the card itself. I never really, like, looked at the number for any, like, further meaning. And I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Just incorporating basic numerology info into a reading. I said, it's usually my guides will point it out to me if it's Yeah, it's like the only time I really mention it is like if it does, if it pops out at me, then I know it's my guides that are pointing out, going, "Hey, they need to hear this," you know. So, and like for me, you know, I do the Celtic cross spread. So every once in a while, I look at the cards, and then where they're facing, you know, is one card looking at another card, or a couple of cards looking at a third card, and that's always like, okay, what are these two guys, and what are they trying to say? What are they enforcing? Or, you know, there's.
And that's, again, that's really nice. That's a good way to get insight in, like, beyond like the cards themselves. Like, I think that's actually pretty neat. And,
yeah.
Like, and your guides are definitely like helping you there.
And again, you know, it's not every reading I do that. It's just every once in a while I'll be doing it or something pops out in the reading and then I start looking deeper and it's reinforced. To me, anything that's looking to the left or is on the left is the past. You know, going back, if they look to the right, that's the future going forward. And sometimes, like, if they're two cards, but they're not looking at, you know, they're looking away from each other, they're like back to back. It's like, okay, so there's the past, there's there's the future. You know, what's this in the middle? Why is nobody acknowledging where you are right now?
Interesting.
So it's just, yeah. And like I said, it's usually my guides. You know, George will, you know, go, "Hey, dummy, look at this. Hello." Which is why.
Yeah, you know. No, I did. It's always funny when, like, you're doing them and the randomly something makes you hyper fixate on a certain detail. And usually, if you're suddenly out of the blue or focusing on a detail that you wouldn't normally, it's probably your guides or there's something there that needs to be spoken in the reading.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's crazy how it works.
It's really interesting, like, especially like when you get like random information that like for you doesn't quite make sense. And like, gosh, what was that? I did a reading recently that like I think I was telling you about it, that I was just like, I wasn't sure if I was gonna, this reading made, I was confused on. I really didn't know if it would connect, or, you know, and especially when you don't know the question or thought that the person has, you know. Yeah. And like after I did the reading, everything made so much sense, and it was like basically it was like the cards were telling me about like the person needed to take some time to reinforce their own positive, like, they needed to reinforce their own themselves and make themselves feel better and really do some, like, because what happened is my guides, before I was reading the guide, or as I was reading the cards, my guides were like, they need to write down 13 things great and special about themselves. I'm like, oh, I'm like, okay, that's like, that's a very specific thought.
Yeah.
And like I'm like, okay, like, so they need some to remember that there are good things about them, and like my brain was like, oh, they might be in a point where like they're not seeing themselves in a good light, or not taking into account the really wonderful and special things about themselves.
Okay.
And but this thought came out so randomly at me. I'm like, what does this have to do with the reading? And then I do the reading, and like the cards are very supportive of this, that they need some them time, me time, to really like reevaluate the good things about themselves. And it was just so ironic because right after she's like, okay, this is crazy, because I'm literally like was just trying to work on this for myself. And I was just like, wow. Okay, that was literally like so spot on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And then we go back to the, you have to be a psychic to read tarot. It bothers me. It really bothers me when somebody is like, oh, you're a great psychic. I'm like, no, I am not a psychic.
Yeah.
Like, not one bit. And like, I don't get mad about it. I just find it funny because it's like, I know for a fact that I am not.
Yeah, exactly. I was at one event and, you know, doing readings and having fun, and this one lady, and she was like, oh my God, you know, she got a ring. It was just like totally connected. I have no idea what the details are. I forget half of my readings that I do. If I need to talk about it, details come back. It's weird.
Right.
But and then she was like, "Oh my God, you're so good. You know, you must be a psychic and all this stuff." And I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm just good with the cards." And she goes, "No, no, no, you are. What sign am I? Come on, you know. What sign am I? What should I do?" Da, da, da. I'm all like, and as soon as someone like comes up,
Pluto. You're Pluto.
Yeah, like someone comes up and in my face and is like, "Oh, tell me this." My mind is completely whoop, blank.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know. Maybe your sign is do not enter. I don't know.
You put me on the spot and the whole slate gets erased.
Yeah, and everything's just like, okay. And I'm like, George. And George is like, you go figure it out. Smart psychic dude. I'm like, yeah, right. yeah, my guys are hilarious. But digging back to like the numbers on the cards, because there's three main types of tarot decks, just in case you didn't know. There's the gold standard that everybody uses, the Waite-Smith, and you know, or Rider Waite-Smith, RWS. Arthur Waite was the guy who created the deck. Pamela Coleman Smith did all the illustrations. She did the painting and the artwork for it. And Ryder, why does he get first billing? Because he's the publishing company. That was the company that published the deck. So if you want to make money, kids, be a publishing house. Anyway, that's my joke. So there's that one. That's like the universal. That's like the beginner's deck. Like everybody says, start with that deck. If you want to go tarot, you know, there's your reality. Here's your base. The other major deck that's out there is the Thoth. Thoth deck is by Crowley. Yeah, Thoth. Some people, I've heard it pronounced different ways. I apparently don't pronounce it correctly, but I don't care. That's what I do. And he is very Kabbalistic, very high magic, very this, and his deck is interesting. He has different major arcana cards. All of the other cards, the minor arcana cards, are Lord of something. You know, Lord of Happiness, Lord of this, Lord of that. So there's a lot of that kind of levels in it. You know, people mix the Kabbalah in and all this other stuff. And yeah, all of that esoteric is in there. And then
I don't think I actually have a single Thoth deck.
It's fun. Those ones are good. And I've got a couple of people have those decks. I've had people ask me, it's like, I have this. I was like, oh my God, that's based on Thoth. And they're like, what? And so it's, yeah, we go into like 2-hour geek conversation anyway, or I do, I ramble and they're just like, okay, you can shut up now. Anyway, the third major type of tarot deck. And this one actually comes, out of, it's based on the Italian decks that came out, you know, which we think, nobody really knows for sure, but we think tarot that we know of now is really based on these other decks, the Marseille decks. And there, all the major arcana are, they have the images, the illustrations on them, you know, just kind of like how we know now. I mean, they're a little different from, you know, from current day, but you know, they pretty much evolved that way. The court cards, the thing is with these, you know, like royalty in Italy and so on, they would have the decks of these cards, and they would do the court cards as, you know, members of their family would be featured as the court cards. So it was, you know, very much a status kind of thing for those. But the main difference is on the Marseille decks is that the pip cards, the 1 through 10, the ace through 10, there are no images. Like, if it's the 3 of swords, there's just, like, 3 swords on the card. That's it.
Yeah, oh,
there's
okay.
No image, you know, like, you know, 7 pentacles, that's it. It's just 7 pentacles printed on the card, like a number 7 in the corner. You know, it's kind of like playing cards now, you know, aces, clubs, and, you know, all those little suits. So it's those kind of cards. So for those, you know, that's why people are like, woo, you know, you save that one kind of to the end, because if you don't really know the numbers, you know, the numbers of the suit and what those cards are supposed to mean, those decks give you no information.
Yeah, I would find that actually, like, very confusing, because, like, I, like, yes, I know all the cards, when I pull the card, sometimes I look at it and I have no clue, and I have to give my brain a refresher because I am so filled with like random information that like I will see a card and go, oh, you know where the very first like imagery of a zombie came from? It actually came from Alexander the Great's army when he died. Like,
that
has nothing to do with the card, but that's where my brain will sometimes go.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually a true fact. The first imagery of zombies came from a pot from around the time Alexander the Great died.
Wow.
And it represented... And sorry for the tangent, everybody. I just love this piece of information.
That's what they listen. They listen for the tangents.
What they found was on the pot, there was, like, these people were dead. They'd get up, they'd attack the next person, they would die, then they would get up, and they'd go. And so that the pot was just continuously doing this over and over again. So out of context, you look at it and you go, ooh, zombies attacking people, killing, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And it actually had nothing to do with zombies whatsoever. And it was all because when Alexander the Great died, he did not declare who should take over his empire. Completely fell into disarray. All of his generals started basically eating themselves alive. The whole image actually represented and why his empire just went.
Okay.
But like that's how my brain works. Random info that like, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of time I need to look at the picture on the card, and then the associations pop back into my head.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah, with me having a formal spread, you know, each position, wherever the card is, it means something related to the position it's in. So that, you know, tying the picture and the position kind of gives me the story to tell. So I do have a couple Marseille decks. They're beautiful artwork, but it's very hard to do readings with those because I just don't have rote memorized everything.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, as much as like I'll say, ooh, intuition trumps all, and boom, 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 you know, and sometimes I'm like, well, not really.
Right. And then you just see only like a solid number and you're like,
Yeah, and then you're like, what? Because I mean, you know, I do, you know, intuition does play a bit, and there, you know, cards can have two or three meanings depending on, you know, where it is and this, you know, what you're getting. You know, there can be a lot. So, you know, intuition does play a key, but I got to at least see some kind of a picture so I know what's going on. So
my first foray into tarot, I didn't have a tarot deck.
Uh-huh.
So I was looking up and trying to figure out every way to turn a deck of cards into my tarot deck.
There you go.
And I actually found some, like, neat stuff and, like, mm-hmm. was able to kind of work with it a little bit and... I can understand how you can compare, but you only have 52 cards. I'm sorry, you're missing like almost the whole major arcana.
Yeah,
and that was kind of a like hard, but my very first attempt to do like readings, I tried with a regular deck of cards.
Yeah,
and I could totally see how forgive us, we're probably butchering that, but
yeah, we are.
I would probably not be very good at like doing a good reading off of that.
Yeah, it's what you're describing is basic like cartomancy. Is and there is there's actually a deck out. There's a couple of, they call them gypsy fortune telling decks. So don't get mad at me. I did not name it. I'm not disparaging a whole race of people calling them gypsies. But there is a system of divination that you can use with a regular deck of playing cards, you know, and each card does have a different meaning to it. It's one of those, to me,
it's not our thing.
Yeah, it's not our thing. It's not our thing because it's, for me, you know, it's like, okay, then it's just rote memorization on it. It's like, oh, this card means this. Boom. And you're just going to say it. You know, I don't get the depth that I get out of a tarot card, you know, a tarot deck using that. So.
Yeah, yeah, because you can have a card like, back to another myth. that the cards only have one exact meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
And that it never changes.
Ew.
And it's like, no, like, your perception of the card can change reading to reading so easily.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, speaking of that, you know, hey, that the cards never change. So in this book from 1971, he actually does a quick rundown of basically meanings for all the cards.
Okay.
And these are hilarious, and like, especially for like the major arcana. So let me, okay, I can edit if this goes long, but hold on. Let me find one that I was like, what the F? You know, because I don't read the cards this way.
Right.
Let me find one that really stuck out at me that made me go. And I'll ask you, how do you read this card? And I'll tell you how I read the card. And I'll tell you from 1971 what the definition of the card was.
Okay.
How crazy is that? What do we got? What do we got? Damn it. Excuse me. Oh, here it is. How about High Priestess? Now, back then, they actually called this card the Female Pope.
Okay.
So, how would you read High Priestess?
The High Priestess, to me, would be like a feminine person with extreme knowledge in whatever you're trying to, like, understand or question. Like, it would be like find somebody that teaches whatever it is. If you are, like, asking about your health, it would be more like find a doctor, and you'd probably be better off with a female. That would be kind of my way of going, just straight off the top of my head.
Okay, yeah. So for me, High Priestess is always intuition, you know, following that voice, you know, listening to it. You know, you do know what you want, you know, follow your intuition. It's not going to lead you wrong. Basically, it's like, you know, if they're confused on something, it's like, well, maybe, I'm not sure. No, you know, follow it, you know, just trust your intuition.
Yeah.
So from back in 1971, the female pope, or the high priestess card, represents the goddess, silence, intuition is in there, virginity, and the querent, if she is a female. If the querent is a male, it is the object of his affection. Okay, interesting. I mean, nice that intuition has, like, you know, kind of made it through.
Yeah, yeah, at least I got one thing that I would consider right.
yeah, exactly. Oh, wheel is good, that's good. I look at the cards that are, like, so easy.
Right,
oh,
right.
Okay. This is fun. And then reversed. Did I say the reverse on this? Oh, feminine. If the high priestess is reversed, right? I'm just like, you're not listening to yourself. Trust yourself, damn it. You know, to me, that's when they say reversed, treachery, feminine hostility, enforced virginity.
Whoa.
I'm like, whoa, bitterness. I was like, yeah, oh, damn. It's like, snap.
There's some, male aggression in that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, whoo, pretty male-centered. Male-centric for the meanings on that?
Yeah, it's like, the High Priestess, especially because, like, it would be, like, more, like, spiritual, like, the magical parts of you.
Yeah.
And, like, you're, like... The knowledge of things that aren't easily explained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'll just do one other. The Chariot. Okay. If you read if the Chariot pops up, how do you read that?
The Chariot one, that one, I have to get a little... I rarely see the Chariot, so...
I know. I'm putting you on the spot. To me, the Chariot, because it's, you know, the Chariot is you're in control. You guide where you're wanting to go. You know, you are actually one in control of your life. You make the decisions, and
you can
go anywhere you want. You focus your direction, your energy. You know, you lead yourself where you want to go. You're not going where you want to go. That's you. You're the one stopping yourself. You know, nobody else is.
Yep. Like your motivation.
Yeah.
Your willpower, like, that you have to
exactly.
go in that direction, like,
yeah.
I see, like, you know, a flock of geese naturally going north for the for the summer, south mm-hmm. for the winter. They're following their natural intuition.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And on the imagery of the chariot, it's usually two animals pulling it, one black, one white. So, you know, showing the duality of everything and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you can read so deep into the card, I'm just glossing over it. But anyway, from 1971, if you pulled the chariot, it would mean war, courage, victory, or vengeance.
There's a lot right there that kind of contradicts itself.
I know, exactly. It's like, okay, victory and vengeance. Okay. And if it's reversed, defeat. So if the chariot ever gets reversed, you're defeated. You're done. You're not going to win. Boo, bad card.
If you're not driving the car, you're going to crash, bro.
Yeah, basically. Basically. So anyway, I just thought that was that was interesting. You know, and especially like, you know, the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And I actually have two books. They're obviously reprints. I don't have the originals. I would die if I did. But it's from Arthur Edward Waite, who created the, you know, the Waite-Smith tarot deck. It's his meanings of all the cards.
Oh.
What he originally put down in 1900, you know, 1909.
Then let's hear the High Priestess from him.
I don't have that book in front of me, so.
Oh, snap. Now you're being put on the spot.
I know. Hold on. You want me to go grab the book? I'll pause this. Hold up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to go grab it. Hold up. All right, back, grab the book, looking up. What did the creator of the deck say about the High Priestess? Oh, boy, he's describing the car. Oh, my God. This is a, okay. I should have been better prepared. Okay, the scroll in her hands is inscribed with the word Torah, T-O-R-A, signifying the greater law, the secret law, and the second sense of the The secret law and the second sense of the word. It is partly covered by her mantle to shew that some things are implied and some spoken. She is seated between the white and black pillars, J and B, of the mystic temple, and the veil of the temple is behind her. It is embroidered with palms and pomegranates, yada yada. She has been called occult science on the threshold of sanctuary of Isis, but she is really the secret church, the house which is of God and man. She represents the second marriage of the prince who is no longer of this world. She is the spiritual bride, the mother, daughter of the stars. Okay, look, he did not put like little keywords in here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. But okay. It's definitely coming off more like what we would see it. Than,
yeah, more of the intuition and more. So this is, so it's weird how things change.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's like, I think anybody that's, especially when you're learning tarot, like, get more than one book, get multiples, because you're going to want to compare. And like, whenever I'm studying a card, I always like literally pull up, I have like my books, I have like 7 or 8 of them, and I will literally get the same exact spot in each book. You know, like, if I'm looking up, like you said, the High Priestess, mm-hmm. I would have the High Priestess in this book, the High Priestess in this book, the High Priestess in this book. Because I want to know as much information as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to find all the commons amongst them, you get a much better idea of what that means. Instead of, oh, you know, every single one is talking about intuition, and then the other one's like, follow the law.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, that doesn't add up to the other 7.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that's what I always tell people, because most decks come with like a little booklet with like very, very tiny snippet meanings of each of the cards. Just throw that thing away. Don't even look at it, because, I mean, it's such a small piece of what that card can mean.
It's great for starters, like, you know, like, especially if you, like, oh, I could only afford to get my deck, that, but, like, definitely grab yourself a more in-depth book, because you will totally appreciate it.
Yeah, and there's also now several many websites that you could go to for free and get meanings. I know one that I used a lot, and every once in a while I still go and check, it's Biddy Tarot. I'm not promoting, we're not getting paid by her for anything, but it is a cool website. She has a lot of stuff on her site about tarot.
I appreciate out.
All of her work. It's BIDDY tarot.com.
A little bitty tarot.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So that, yeah. So anyway, it's just interesting to me how things, you know, from 1909 to 2025.
Right.
You know, and it's still, and can be so accurate. We can use, you know, we can use that deck. You know, we can use a deck based on, you know, with Pamela Coleman Smith's imagery and do readings. Mm-hmm. And they're still connect to people to this day.
Yeah, I would love to find, I don't even know if it's possible, but, like, I believe that the tarot was originally in the 14th or 15th century. I think 15th century, because isn't, if you say 15th century, that means, like, 1400 and blah, blah, yeah, blah is 15th yeah century.
Yeah, I've heard 14th century, so back to the 1300s in yeah Italy.
Right, Italy is definitely,
yeah,
at least I'm pretty sure that is, yeah, and I would love to find what they originally, like a manuscript from then,
ooh,
what it is, because how much culture itself has changed and perception yeah of ideas has changed, yeah, like, you know, like, just think about how, like, rights for humans have changed in the last, like, 100 years, like, that's, yeah, exactly, that's a major impact yeah on culture. And
yeah, and originally tarot, there was a card game. There's two versions of the card game that these decks were created for. It's
oh snap, we gotta play this game.
Yeah, one is called like Tarocchi, and I can't remember the other one. I've read about it, and actually this book that I'm going through, he actually mentions it, and he goes, the rules for the game are later in the book. I've just barely started reading it. But yeah, that would be fun just to see what this is, what that Italian deck was created for, and now how it's morphed into.
Yeah, yeah.
I think part of the Golden Dawn, if you've heard of that society, their religious society, they have their own doctrine and so on. And as you work through all the levels, when you become like a master in the Golden Dawn, the original requirements were that you had to create your own tarot deck. And I think that is still the requirement, but nowadays people just have like there's a black and white print of basically Pamela Coleman Smith's artwork. You know, it's just a blank card. So it's like a coloring book, shall we say? And so most people will take that and then color in the cards themselves the way they want it. And so that's how they connect to their deck. And that kind of fulfills the creating your own deck niche.
That sounds like fun.
Of it,
like,
which is fun.
Color it.
Yeah. I actually have, I need to look it up. I didn't know we were going to go off on this tangent. I think it's Builders of the Antedom. It's BOTA. It's like the Builders of the Antedom or something like that. Anyway, they actually do, they call them the keys. All the cards are a key. So it's the keys of tarot, and they actually do sell a deck that's black and white. I believe I actually have a copy. I haven't colored it in yet, but I did buy a copy of that. So, see, I know way too much about tarot. oh, my God. It's so much. Yeah, but that's cool. And actually, early on in a reading that I got from somebody I respected, she was like, you really should get a version like that. And there's even a book out like creating your own tarot deck, and it's the same thing. It's like a coloring book. You know, you have all the cards and then you can color them, and just taking that time and going through the detail on each card, you know, you might notice things that you didn't notice before. You know, like the hermit, his belt is a piece of rope that holds his robe together. You know, it's a rope. And yeah, it's just the little details that may help you connect on cards. Or
yeah,
give
I definitely want to get one of those. That yeah sounds super neat.
Yeah, give you like a whole nother insight into the cards. It's the little things like that. I've heard so many other things about... Oh, going back to a myth. So here's one that just popped into my head. So I have heard that if you do not have a clearly defined question for the reading, you know, like if you are not clear, the person getting the reading and the person doing the reading, if you have not clearly defined the question, then the reading is going to be muddled. It won't give any information. It'll make no sense. But if you have a very clear question, then the reading is going to be spot on. I laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I do see how that works, because, like I said, if I know, like, if I know you come to me and say, hey, Charlie, I need a reading on my love life. You know, I need to know what's going on. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So I know Jameson wants to know what's happening with his love life. That reading is going to be so spot on for your love life. You will die. Because
right.
whether those cards really mean or really are pointing out, I'm going to bend everything to go, this is what he needs to hear. This is it. This is about his love. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm going to give you. And you're going to be like, oh my God, it's the greatest reading ever. I love you. You're the best. And you're going to tip me like $900 because I'm that good.
But it's like, it goes to the, like, why I stopped wanting to know the question and stuff. Yeah, like you said, you could bend, because you know that they're asking about this, can start to bend the reading towards that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You have like a little tiny bit of in going into it with a little bias.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bias there, and then you can see it, and it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. Hey, it's amazing how they said that. Yeah, so that's how I don't like it, because it doesn't feel true to me. And I've done a few readings, and then I start second guessing. Yeah, it's like, okay, did I just tell him that because I knew that's what that's what they wanted the reading on, or was that really the message that was coming? So,
yeah.
So for me, I can't. I just don't want to know. I go in blind. Okay, we are like at an hour.
Wow, already?
Already. I mean, time flies when we just start talking.
Yeah, seriously.
And again, we just barely scratch. Like,
I know. Yeah, it's like we've got like a couple of topics that we were out of like the 20 we discussed.
Yeah. we put together a show document, and we put like bullet points of what we want to discuss. And then, you know, as we're doing this, we kind of go through them. And then we look back and go, wow, there's like 20 or 10 more things.
Yeah, there's still a bunch to talk about.
There's a lot. So, anyway.
But you know what? That's the great part, though, Charlie. It's like, we are going to be doing this for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my main thing is, I hope I don't, like, I'm notoriously good for repeating myself. It happens when you're completely deaf in one ear and mostly deaf in the other. You tend to repeat yourself or ask people to repeat themselves for you.
Yes.
And that's the only thing I like, get anxiety about. It's like, did I already talk about this? Probably. I'm just going to tell you that now.
It's fine. If it gets to the point where it's like, okay, dude, I've heard that already. Everybody's heard that. I'll point it out. Don't worry. And same for me, man. If I start repeating things, because I will, I have a couple stories that I just love, and I'll just... Yeah. I'll keep telling them. So, I mean, if you're hearing it, it's like, okay, they've heard that every episode you have said.
Yeah. It's exciting. And you know what I am super, super excited about?
What are you excited about?
Our guest.
What? We have a guest?
Not today.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Soon.
That's right. Oh, yeah. We teased that at the beginning of all this. Yes.
So I'm teasing it again.
Yes, there is a guest.
Her name is...
Their name is...
I'm just kidding. Nope.
Their name rhymes with yellow, purple, tree,
porcupine.
Sun, orange, banana split.
Orange, banana, shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
What a great word.
No, we are not going to tell you. It will be a surprise, but it is.
But I guarantee listeners, everybody, you guys are going to love our guest.
Yeah, and people are going to freak out.
Yeah, this person is so wonderful, and I'm so excited to enjoy their presence with us. An episode coming up soon.
Yes. I'm not even going to tell you when. Sometime.
Right.
You'll just have to keep listening.
It's just a trick. You're not getting it for 10 episodes.
Yeah, you know, we're still working out details.
Another like thing that I'm excited about is we're still trying to work the kinks out on how we're going to do it, but we would like to do like a caller episode.
Yes.
And so like we would love to get, you know, if we're thinking that we might have people make voice memos and email them to us, and then Charlie and I will listen to them on the show and then talk about them.
Yeah.
So if anybody's interested in that, please feel free to, you know, check out our website, insightfultarot.com. We have the Insightful Journey on Facebook, the Insightful Journey JC @gmail.com if you want to email us. And yeah, send us your questions, comments, any ideas, or if you decide to make a voice memo and want us to play it on our show, just do it. It'll be fun.
Exactly. That would be like really cool, and then we just have clips of questions people have asked or whatever, and then we just play them and answer.
Yeah, yeah, and then at some point we'll figure out how to actually get a call in.
Yeah, yeah, we just have to be like, okay, where are you? Are you free during the time that we're doing a live recording so we could have you in? So that would be the only trick.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you pull any cards for this week?
I did. I just need to find what I did. Just lost you. Sorry.
Okay.
Excuse me. No, I did not. I did, but I can't look at it, and my brain is completely forgetful on what it was.
Ah, no problem. Yeah. All right, well then, I'll go through the three, because I pulled some cards while we were recording this. Like I said, I haven't turned them over yet, so as I flip them, this is what we see. Ooh, interesting. And look, we didn't even get into court cards, so, oh my god. It's the King of Coins or King of Pentacles reversed. To me, King of Pentacles, he is that business guy. You know, if you have questions, if you're concerned about a business, so on, this is the guy you go to for advice. With it being reversed, it's like, okay, you don't even know what questions you want to ask yet. You're just kind of, you're out there floating. It's like, there's so much you don't know what it is that you do not know, if that makes any sense. So it's out there. Okay, now where do we go? Oh man, if these are all reversed, I'm gonna be just crazy. Anyway, Eight of Wands comes next, which is reversed. So when it's upright, it means everything's lining up and you're speeding to your destination or your direction. You know, you're gonna hit that goal. Everything's gonna happen really quickly. With it reversed, it's all like there is all of this energy, but it's not focused. It's like, where are you going? It's like to me, it's that squirrel, you know, kind of thing. Like, It's the ADHD, you know, squirrel. It's like, okay, it's like, boom, you know, everything is catching your attention, but you need to center and focus, or else you're going to go 900 directions and get nowhere.
Right.
And the final, hey, it's not upside down. And, yep, well.
Oh, I thought it was.
Nah, come on, I can't do three reversals in a row. I've done it, but I can't. Oh, Page of Cups. Yay, I love the Page of Cups.
Oh, that's so funny. That's the card I freaking.
God, I know.
I just looked at it.
How do you read that one?
The Page of Cups, I would say, like, youthful knowledge.
Sweet. Okay.
Yeah, I got to get myself a reminder.
You want me to tell you?
I'm terrible at today. But when I'm put on the spot this last couple of days, I am just, like, immediately draw a blank.
And then I'm just...
good news. Good news. I definitely get good news.
Good news, yeah. To me, it's that wonder. It's that youthful wonder. It's that that surprise, that wow. Because there's always, you know, the person in the car is always holding a cup, and there's like a fish popping out of the cup that they're holding. It's like, how did a fish get in my cup? You know, it's like that wow.
Yeah.
I also describe it, you know, like going to Disneyland. And you know, if you've ever stayed for the fireworks show at the end of the night, and it's just all the craziness, and Tinkerbell is flying through, and all this great stuff, and you're just like, wow, it's that joy, it's that wonder of a child, like, oh, it's so amazing. To me, it's that this card always speaks to that. It's like, keep that joy, keep that wonder. It's like, yes, everything is new and exciting and joyful, and go do it. You know, just approach the world with that kind of energy and see what happens.
Oh, I try to.
Okay, so that's why we're not focused, because we're like, wow, you know.
Squirrel!
Yeah, squirrel. If we were focused, then we'd know that Tinkerbell flies, because we see the wires, you know, during the day, we see the wires strung from the castle to over there, and you can see that she's just on a harness and going back and forth. But that...
Flying squirrel!
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's the logic brain. That's not the kid brain. So, all right. So keep that joy of wonder out there. Find your little direction. And then there's guidance. Guidance will step in. Somebody who knows what they're doing is going to step in. Does that make any sense? Do any of us really know what we're doing? I mean, but anyway.
Some days.
So maybe a more of an expert in a field will make themselves known and help you out.
Great.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, so any final thoughts?
All I have to say is thank you to all of our listeners, and we appreciate you all. Like, this is so much fun, and we look forward to many, many more of these to come.
Yes, yes, indeed. I just second all of that. So wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, I hope you have a wonderful day, a wonderful night, a wonderful whatever. Enjoy, and we'll see you next time.
Stay positive. Talk to you later.